Take your Bible this evening and turn to the New Testament book of John, John chapter number 16, John chapter number 16. We'll look at a couple of thoughts this evening. Again, I want to say thank you to everyone. That was such a blessing to the Sharon Baptist Day School family. And whether you know it or not, you have made a mark in eternity, amen. So we thank you so very, very much for that. It's been a very long week, a lot of late hours by people that have been putting things together. So my intent tonight is not to be all that long-winded. I'm going to give you what God has for us, and it should be a blessing to your heart. If you've ever been to the beach, or let me take that phrase back, the coast, because Christians don't go to the beach, we go to the coast, amen. And I lived at Myrtle Coast in South Carolina for a number of years. And if you ever lived there, you know what that means. That means it's the beach in the summer, and we Christians go to the coast in the fall and the winter when no one else is there, amen. So if you've ever gone to the coast, wherever that may be, you know this, that a red flag that's being flown as you walk onto the sand of the coast, you'll know that extremely high tides are occurring, or you'll know that it's very dangerous to swim. In fact, when that red flag is flying, even our local news telecasts say, stay out of the water, don't go in the water, there's undertow, things like that, just stay away from it. If you ever I've seen a flashing red light behind you or in front of you. You know that an emergency vehicle is coming your way, and you hope that it's not like flashing blue, red, and white, and wants you to pull over. You're hoping that it's red and white fire truck coming your way. If you think about a code red alert that's given by Homeland Security, that generally means that there is a significant threat to the safety and well-being of American citizens. And so when you hear these things about code red, you know that it means something is happening. In each case, it signifies the potential of an imminent danger and a need to take an appropriate response from that code red. You know, I thought about this thought of the code red, and it came to pass as I thought about that, as Christians and as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must be prepared to respond to the frequent code red situations in our life. And every day we have code red situations that could possibly affect us. I think of words like crisis, words of tragedy, words like disaster, words like emergency or catastrophe seem to be a very integral part of our everyday vocabulary. As a matter of fact, if I come to dread, I love watching Fox News, but I come to dread almost the breaking news story that seems to come out, and they have that little sound that comes out, breaking news here on Fox News, and typically it involves a subject of terrorism, sometimes death, maybe destruction, or sometimes lately in the political scene, it's some far-reaching liberal political agenda that they want to warn you about. And so if you take your papers in the morning and you look at our papers we have here, we'll find that they're filled with those same kind of headlines, and the pictures portray suffering and pictures portray death, and we read about that liberal political agenda that's going on all around of us. Yet above all the sounds of the sirens that may be coming, above all the voices of the news reporters and the newscasters and the roar of the fighter jets that are defending America, there's something else that just must be heard, and that is the message of help and hope amongst this idea of a code red. It's a message that's clearly communicated to you and I. It's communicated visually as we fight the battle every day. It's communicated vocally deep down in our soul. It's a message that says, in the midst of all this turmoil and situations of our life, there is God, and He cares about us, and He loves us so very much. Oh, having said that, let's look in our Bibles at John chapter 16. I'm going to read just one verse as we stand and give respect to the reading of God's Word, John 16, verse number 33. Notice what the Lord says. These things have I spoken unto you, and in that in me ye might have peace, and in the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Notice this, it doesn't say you have overcome the world. It says, I, Jesus Christ, that I have overcome the world. In and through Him, we can have victory over this world. Let's pray. Father, we bow our heart and our knee before You this evening. Father, we thank You, Lord,
for the preciousness of this verse. Oh, Father, I do pray as we, each of us, have these code red situations in our life, Father. I pray, Lord, that we would take our hope and understanding, Father, that you are there for each and every situation. That, Father, you might be a help to your people. Maybe there's some here this evening, Father, that have found themselves in a code red situation in their life. Trials and turmoils have threatened their life, Father, and the sirens are screaming, Father, and the world is crying out, Father. But help them to know there's help only in you tonight. So, Father, we pray that you would save that one that could be here this evening and doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And, Father, when it's all said and done this evening, Father, we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory for it all, for nobody deserves it any more than thee. And we ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I believe there's three great responses that Christian must demonstrate when these code reds come into our life and their signals of life become very obvious to us. And I think these responses that we're going to look at are Bible-based, but they have to be personally applied. You know, it's kind of like salvation. You must not only know that Christ died for you, but you must believe. And so as we give you these three biblical principles to surviving code red situations in your life, it's not mere just knowing about them. It's taking these Bible truths and applying them to your life, and it's only then can we truly experience victory in these code red situations. Notice first of all that we must be controlled by God's peace. We must be controlled by God's peace. And when the storm clouds of trouble appear into our lives, we need to seek a place of refuge. And that refuge is found in none other than the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, God never promised the life of a Christian that would be absent of all trouble. You know, many people think that, boy, once I just get saved, man, all my troubles are going to go away. Listen, we had to be careful as soul winners to let people know, as Pastor James has taught us in our soul winning refresher class, that when people get saved, we have to let them know, now you're an enemy with the world. And because of that, things and trials and tribulations are going to come your way. And so we need to understand that even though they come our way, we have that promise that God will always be with us. His presence will be there, even in all trouble that comes our way. In Psalm 9, in verse number 9, the Bible says this, "The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." You see, refuge is a place that you can go to receive some kind of help. And so, my friend, this is what you and I do as born-again believers and Christians. We don't often run to the refuge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We run to the refuge of our bank account. We run to the refuge of our friend. We run to the refuge of our doctors. And the Bible says when code red times come into your life that we need to be controlled by peace, and that peace can only come from God himself. I like it the way Isaiah put it in the 26th chapter in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You say, well, I'm trying to apply this to my life, and it doesn't seem to be working. Well, perhaps it is because you're not meditating on this idea that God will be your peace, and God will give you peace. And then it says, "because he trusteth in thee." You know, again, it's this idea of knowing that God can give you peace in code red situations, but then it's applying that truth by reading and feeding on the Word of God, having sweet fellowship with Him on a regular basis, knowing that whatever comes your way, that God is in control of that. We could define peace as a calmness of heart and mind, knowing that God is in control. You see, my peace doesn't come from the world. My peace doesn't come from my wife, although she can calm me down at times. My peace comes from God and comes from His Word. Take your Bibles this evening. We're going to turn to a few passages of Scripture. Turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and we'll look at verses 1 through 3. Psalm 46 and verses 1 through 3. You can remain calm when you recognize the presence of God in your life. Notice what it said in Psalm 46 and verses 1 through 3. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. We can remain calm when we recognize the presence of God in our life. Notice He is an abundantly available help. I thank God for that. It's just not some help person I can call to Microsoft. Listen, He's abundantly available for you and I to be a help to us. In fact, verse 1 says, He is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. I like that. You know, when I'm putting something together and it doesn't seem to go right, and I try to call that 1-800 helpline, they're there, but they're not a present help, amen? And now I sometimes get the feeling that they could care very less if I get this thing together or not. All they want to do is just make sure I don't take it back to the store, and then they have to pay shipping back to Walmart to get that thing back to the factory. And so they're not there, but understand this, that He is a present helper for us. Turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, and look in verse number 10. We find that we can remain calm when we recognize not only the presence of God in our life, but then when we see the power of God or recognize God's power. Look at Psalm 86 and verse number 10. Notice what the psalmist says. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. What the psalmist is saying here is simply this. That God, you're great and you do good things and thou art God alone. He's saying this, that nobody else could do these things except it were you. And so when we find ourselves having no peace in our life, we can turn to the Word and recognize God's presence in our life, but then we can recognize God's power in our life. You know, there is times when really, literally, you can feel the presence and power of God in your life. I think oftentimes when we're soul winning or visiting and you're out sharing the gospel with someone, and man, you could just feel the Holy Spirit of God urging you to say certain words and bringing back up in memory those scriptures that you perhaps had long forgotten about, and it just comes out and you're like to yourself, where did that verse come from? I forgot I memorized that verse. Or the Lord will take you to a passage of scripture and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God. We can remain calm when we remember His presence, when we remember His power. But then look over in Psalm 91. Over in Psalm 91, in verses 1 through 6, we can remain calm and be controlled by God's peace when we recognize God's protection over our life. Notice in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 6, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Listen, God, we can remain calm and have peace even in the midst of the worst code red situation in our life when we come to understand that the presence of God is there, that He has the power of God, and we recognize God's protection over us. You know, Pastor James and I were talking just about a week ago about how God has protected us even as young children. You know, and teenagers and even young adults, we do the stupidest things. And really, when I look back over my life, it's a wonder how I didn't die and split hell wide open. But it was God's hand of protection over me. And so when we get into those terrible code red situations and trials and tribulations, we can have peace when you recognize God's presence is there. That's what the psalmist said. And then he thought about God's power. And then we saw that God is our protector and offers protection for you and I. Understand this evening that nothing can touch the life of a child of God without God's full knowledge and complete control that He reigns and works in our life. And so we see that, number one, we need to be controlled by God's peace. Think about this. When everything that you know is falling down around you, you can keep yourself living in total peace because we have dependence upon God the Father, who loves you and cares for you so very much. I like the words of our Savior in our text in verse 33. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace." So I ask you this evening, do you have this peace that God speaks to us about? If you're going to have God's peace in a code red situation, you're going to have to be controlled by God's peace. Just not knowing about His presence, not knowing about His power, not knowing about His protection, but being controlled by God's peace. But then notice something else this evening. We need to be consistent in our praying. Be consistent in our praying. It's amazing how trouble creates an awareness in the lives of people for the need of God. You know, it just is. When trouble comes our way, oftentimes it creates an awareness for God in our life. You think about it for just a moment. Our kids in school are not really permitted to pray in school, but guess what? Let a Dylan Klebold go into a school and shoot and kill 20, 30 people. Guess what? There's praying happening in that school that day. You see, it's amazing how trouble creates an awareness and the need for God in the lives of people. Politicians, they don't want to hear anything about praying at the Capitol until our nation is attacked by terrorists. Then guess what? Every member of Congress, every faith that was in place at that time were kneeling, praying, asking God for help. Every Christian that's not faithful in their times of prayer and their prayer meetings until they lose their job. And when their job's gone, guess what? All of a sudden, they're at church for Sunday school, Sunday night, Sunday p.m., Wednesday, soul winning, visitation, work day. You can't get them away from the house of God. Or maybe it's when grandma gets sick or someone has a heart attack or there's some family crisis. All of a sudden, it creates a vacuum and a need in their life, and they begin really to be consistent in your praying. I believe oftentimes God allows those things to come into our life for us to see that need and fill that vacuum that we have of being more fervent in our praying time. Someone said this, that trouble is a wake-up call to remind us how desperately we need God. You know, because I'm a man just like you are, oftentimes in my life it seems like the closer I am to the Lord is based upon the code red situations that are in my life. I can particularly think about one co-red situation of my own making when I was in the United States Air Force. It was nobody's fault, but my own. It was my own fault, my own making. And I was in a code red situation, and I was desperate. And I tell you what, it drove me to my knees, and I'd be up early, dark 30 in the mornings praying. I'd be praying at my lunch, doing prayer and Bible study during lunch. I'd be more fervent and reading and fervent in my soul winning and in my Bible reading because I was in a code red situation. And I believe God used that situation to teach me a number of lessons, but one of them was simply this, that the reason that we need to seek God is not because we're in a COVID situation, but because He is present with us. He is our power and He is our protection, and we can have peace in Him, but we need to be consistent in our praying. I think if we lack in any area of our Christian life, it's this area of praying and witnessing. Almost everybody would probably say today, well, Pastor Dave, you know, I read my Bible on a pretty regular basis. You know what? Reading is pretty easy to do, but I'm telling you what, prayer is hard work. It's hard work to be a prayer warrior, to be consistent in your prayer. And for that reason, I believe that we need to understand that we need to be consistent in our prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 31 in verse number 9, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eyes is consumed in grief, yea, my soul and my belly." You see, the psalmist was no different than you and I. No doubt he went through times of being close to the Lord, in times he was not close to the Lord, but in times of grief, he said, "I am going to be consistent in my prayer." In Psalm 60 and verse 11, he cried out, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." Again, understanding this, that it's God's protection. It's not man's protection. It's God's power, and it's God's presence. Not our friend's presence, not our power, but God's power. His testimony in Psalm 77 in verse number 2 was this, "In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord." Individual prayer times and family prayer and church prayer meetings cannot be neglected when trouble comes. If you leave off anything, do not leave off times of prayer. Prayer makes the connection between the inability of man and the ability of our righteous and holy and great God. So when trouble comes in Christian's life, when that code red situation comes, we need to, number one, be controlled by peace. Number two, we need to be consistent in our praying. And then number three, notice this, we should be conscious of our potential. Conscious of our potential. You know, I remember reading that an evangelist once said this, "Life is an opportunity to prepare to meet God." And boy, what a great statement that is. Because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. During times of trouble, during times of our code red situations, Christians like you and I must seize the opportunity to become a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that it's a tragedy is when the world gets in a code red situation and they're desperate for God, but the church isn't. Boy, I've seen it time and time again, that things are happening in the world and they're desperate for God, but the church isn't thirsty for God himself. We become savorless salt and we become hidden lights and are useless in a society that's filled with darkness and filled with the decay of sin in our life, according to Jesus' own words in Matthew 5 in verses 13 through verse number 16. So the great need during times of crisis, it should be pretty obvious that we are to be outspoken about our faith, outspoken about the power of God, outspoken about God's protection on our lives, outspoken, be an unashamed witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell the world that you are a Christian and about the God whom you love and his Son whom you serve. And when the going gets tough, people don't run to the bank, they don't run to the mall or the ball field. They usually head to church. You know, I found this to be true, though, as I thought about that statement, that oftentimes when the world gets into trouble, they turn to God. But when the church gets to trouble, who knows the truth, they don't run to God oftentimes. They run to everything else but God. Think about that. Why is that? Why does the world run to God and God's people run to the world? Maybe let's do some soul searching on that matter. And great need is for you and I to be an outstanding and a bold and a vibrant witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Could it be that God is waiting and God is wanting to bring the harvest of souls even in a time of great trouble? Listen, we better be prepared to meet the need with the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the only answer that will be a help to the world. We have the only answer that could be a help even to God's children if you'll just apply the truth to your life. Let me close with this. And the beautiful hymn that's been written by Sevilla Martin, he wrote these words. And the title of this hymn is this, "God Will Take Care of You. Be not dismayed. Where betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. God will take care of you." It's safe to place your trust in someone who cannot fail you. My friends, God will take care of you. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." When code red situations come into your life, when trouble comes, I want you to remember, be controlled by God's peace. Be consistent in your praying. And lastly, be conscious of your potential to reach out to a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father,